So I actually imagine that in Cedar Rapids, there are several of us priests who are leading our homilies off with a very similar intro, because this Thursday when we were having our kind of weekly priest dinner, an event, current event, came up. I don't know if anybody saw, but in the Bronx, there was a Protestant bishop and his wife, and they were robbed. Thankfully, they were both okay, but he was wearing about $1 million of jewelry and lost it. And this made the news and also drew quite a bit of derision, because even the secular culture has a sense, well, you Christians talk about being poor. And this bishop only made it worse by going on and saying, I've worked hard for that stuff. God wants me to have it. Now, we may laugh at that because it's such an opulent sort of display. It almost seems fantastical. But it actually cut a little close to the quick for me, because I spent the first couple of days of this week dragging the remaining stuff that I've carried with me out of the third floor of the rectory. I hadn't downsized in like 5 years, and so I was amazed at how much stuff I had that I didn't even remember having and certainly hadn't needed in several years. And so we see Jesus take a very similar approach here. He doesn't let the idea of greed remain abstract. He dials it right in. You can imagine this individual in the crowd saying, hey, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me, is a little embarrassed, because Jesus goes right into, take care to guard against all greed. Right? We never want to be the person that Jesus bases his parable off of. And yet, this parable really reveals that it's all of us. Right? I think that's the greatest danger in hearing the readings today. To go, that's not me, because here's what's in my bank account. Father, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I'd be lucky to live paycheck to paycheck. This gospel is not about me. But we see that there are a lot of ways we can have treasure in this life. And so we have to let our guard down this gospel so that we can truly guard against actual greed. Because greed is not just expensive jewelry, expensive cars. It's not just a lot of money, big houses, big barns, lots of land. Greed is a manifestation of a desire for anything that we want that goes beyond what God actually wants for us. Right, because the standard here is not some sort of socioeconomic standard, but instead, we need to be rich in what matters to God. And so what this man in the parable is guilty of is not simply being foolish, but we really catch in the question, what shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest? And so he decides, well, I got to build something bigger to keep it, rather than saying, I should give away what I do not need. We see that it isn't just a matter of the size of his barns, but it's also a matter of the size of his heart. There's a lack there, a self-focus that God desires to shatter in all of us, lest we hear, you fool. So we see the antidote to this, of course, in St. Paul, saying, fix your eyes on what is above. Seek what is above. And again, we want to let our guard down, because we've probably heard this one way or another many times before. Seek what is above. Yeah, okay. I mean, I say my prayers or whatever. Seek what is above. What are we living for? Now, if you're here on Sunday, chances are you have a sense, I want to live for eternal life. But what are the buts? I want to live for eternal life. I think Jesus is right, but, and that gives us a really good indication of where those large barns in our heart might be, and where the Lord wants to demand not our life from us, but our riches, so that we may actually have life. And if we need a little more guidance, then listen to this litany that St. Paul puts before the Colossians and us. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, the greed that is idolatry, lying, deceitful practices. Do we have any of those? These are the things that indicate to us we haven't let go of all of our riches, all of our treasures. Another indication is from the book of Ecclesiastes. I've said before, this is not a book we want to read when we are not feeling real great about ourselves. Because the author, Qoheleth, is struggling with the seeming pointlessness of life. This is before the resurrection has been proclaimed, centuries before. And so this is someone who has great wealth, power, access, and they realize how empty it is. And we can find down history lots and lots and lots of people who have incredibly empty lives and incredibly full bank accounts and treasure troves. So if we're finding ourselves empty as well, this is an indication from the Lord that perhaps something else is in order rather than satisfying our greed. What is it that we want? I think that's the most simple thing to ask. What is it that we are actually seeking? When we go on expensive vacations, or when we're jealous of those who get to go on expensive vacations, what are we wanting? When we choose to work on Sunday, what is it that we're after? When we fight with others that we think owe us something, what is it that we're actually after? When we lust after another, what is it that we're actually after? We can do that with every single sin. What is it that I am greedy for? There's a reason Paul links greed and idolatry at the violation of the first commandment, because we're trying to go to another altar to seek the satisfaction that comes only from God. And again, we all know this. Nobody here is sacrificing to Baal. Nobody here is going to the Egyptian gods and goddesses or to the Greek gods and goddesses. But how many of us have been caught up in keeping up with the Joneses? How many of us have bought stuff, hoarded things to stay safe because we don't know what the world is going to do? On and on. These are gods that demand rigorous worship from us and wear us down and make us selfish. These are the things we need to tear down. And instead, we're offered something far greater in seeking what matters for God. Because we hear about St. Paul talking about a new self, which is renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. What does that look like? What would it be to be free of the divisiveness that leads us to fight with our brothers and sisters in Christ over the inheritance? What would it be to not be looking over our shoulder all the time? What would it be to have freedom from the desire to possess? The gospel today confronts us with the truth that it isn't a matter of satisfying a certain amount of stuff and then we can be free. But instead, it is enriching ourselves with what matters to God that gives us freedom, that even if everything that we think we want is taken away from us, if we have what matters to God, we are secure. We are at peace. So as we draw close to our Lord today, where He gives Himself to us in the Eucharist to enrich us, let that be the only thing, the only person who fills the barn of our hearts. And also, let's allow Him to look at us with the same gaze He looked at this man fighting with his brother, not to judge or to condemn us, but to reveal to us what we still possess and may keep us from the kingdom. Because in that, then, we find freedom. Freedom not just for the life of heaven in however many years, but freedom now to be renewed, to experience the love of God, to experience purpose in our life, and to know that we are secure in the love of God that provides for all things for His beloved children, which we are. So, unfortunately, our friend the bishop from New York is wrong. God doesn't necessarily want us to have that stuff that we think we've worked so hard for. Not because it's too much, but because it's not enough. The generosity of God is far greater than whatever trinkets we cling to. So may we have the grace today to open our hands, to release those trinkets and to receive the treasure that comes from our Lord.